Right, welcome into the Can We Kick It podcast. I'm co-host Mike, along with Chuckia.
What up, brother?
What's up, man?
What's up, bruh?
Not much. Rangers taking it to Carolina right now. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, up 2-0. Oh, nice. Tied 1-1 tonight.
Yep, should have worn my jersey. But, yeah, Stanley Cup playoffs are in full swing. Really loving that. It's really good postseason this year.
I'm in second or third, 2 points behind. So I do this playoff pick 'em with some of my cousin's friends. Nice. And I'm like, the first place had like 39 points and second place had 37. I think maybe third, but there's a bunch of people that had the numbers, but I'm ahead of both of my cousins that are hockey fans that watch like every game.
Yeah.
So
just casual watcher, just going to win the tournament. I love when that happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I won on Denver in college. So when it comes to hockey, you got to go with mine. So here's who I have for the second round. I have Florida in six with 8 confidence points.
Nice.
Rangers in six with 4 confidence points. Colorado in six with 2 confidence points. And Vancouver in 7 with 6 confidence points.
Whew.
But Vancouver beat Edmonton, didn't they, in the game one?
In the opener, yeah.
Yeah, so Colorado's up was up 1-0 on Dallas.
Yeah,
and
they went to overtime. That was insane.
Yeah, when I turned it, I was at watching. We were getting a drink at the bar at the Port Orleans Resort that night, and I think Dallas was up 3-1 at some point. And then I wake up the next morning, I was watching a little on the TV, and then next morning it was like overtime. Colorado won. So
yeah, it was like 3-0, and of course the Rangers game was going on at the same time, but I saw the score in the top right and I text Aaron because he's like in Denver, and I was like, dude, what's up with the Avalanche? He was like, don't even talk to me, dude. It was bad. And then for them to come back from down 3-0 is unbelievable.
Then he starts texting you,
I knew it. I split those 10s.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Love you, Aaron.
Okay, he doesn't listen to this podcast, I'm sure. Nobody does, other than us. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta search hard and far and wide.
Yeah. But yeah, man, trying to keep up with TV. There's a lot going on right now, a lot I haven't watched. Trying to get caught up. But I've been in an old movie phase. Like I'm watching like movies that I haven't seen. Donnie Brasco and Jackie Brown, like a lot of these older like movies that just are bangers.
Yeah. Well, it's fun to get on, a kick like that, right? Like when you go to kind of comfort movies or you get into kind of a genre of something.
Yeah.
And I'll kind of go through that like once a year with those films and watch Donnie Brasco, Black Mass, Departed, Casino.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Casino is like, you know, it's funny because everybody always talks like Goodfellas, and, but like Casino is so banging, like, and so underrated in that. Like,
but it is. Yeah. It got completely overshadowed by Goodfellas just because it's an all-star lineup, right? I mean, but Casino is something else because it's just, they're out in the desert and they're talking about like the mob life. And he's like, I always hated going to the desert because you never knew if you were coming back. Like just wild shit. And then Joe Pesci dying in that movie is just crazy. They just leave his ass in that cornfield. It was ruthless. I think I saw an interview where Scorsese said after that movie, I changed the way I do violence in movies because that movie was fucked up.
Well, it's funny. You mentioned the cornfield thing and then like, I love it and they cut and they're like back home and like on the screen it flashes back home. Like, that's the location.
So good.
But yeah, I mean, Pesci has like great death scenes in Casino and Goodfellas.
Yeah.
There's like,
Just a 1-2 punch. It was unbelievable.
Dude, this is so bad, but I've been seeing on Instagram reels, like, Joe Pesci's got scene from Goodfellas, and it's like a Boeing, another blowing Boeing whistleblower goes forward, and it's Joe Pesci walking into the room.
I love that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was an all-time classic scene. Yeah. But it's fun.
Yeah,
because
I think
fun
he's
getting into
getting
those
main.
kicks. Yeah. Because, like, I remember doing that a few years ago, and I watched The Godfather way too late in life. But I remember ripping through, like, Raging Bull, The Godfather, Godfather 2, obviously, and a couple of others, and just going, damn, where have I not been watching movies? It's crazy.
Yeah.
So
Fun
it's fun to go
fact,
back and watch some of those. Yeah.
I read the Godfather book before I saw the movie.
Whew, damn.
Yeah. But both were spectacular.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Well, I've been having a run, you know, after my Japanese TV infestation with Tokyo Vice and Shogun. I've kind of not really wanted to start. Well, we sympathizers, so we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But I've kind of been not getting involved in too much else. So I've been watching a bunch of documentaries, and I get into this like little pattern where I end up watching like documentary after documentary. And that's kind of how I am. I think it's just like kind of the true story aspect of it. And
yeah.
So I watched a couple. I sent you all these, but there was a good one. And I don't think it just came out. I think it's been out for a while, but I saw on HBO like Massacre of the Mormons. And it was an old, I think it was from before COVID. It was like six children and three adult women. Like there's these big Mormon communities in Mexico.
Yeah.
And they were traveling between La Mora and La B something. And it's like 4-hour trip to the mountains, and they got ambushed in the mountains by cartel. But there was kind of, they were all in these big suburbans, and they're supposedly kind of mistaken that it was another cartel. But
jeez.
But there's also like, was it because they're Mormon and it's not their land? Like, so there's a whole thing, but it's really wild. Like, at least for the fact that you don't know that there's so many Mormons living in Mexico.
Dude, yeah, it's something about that, because they even have like a couple of compounds in Texas. And like after that whole Warren Jeff stuff, I mean, we've talked about that at length in the past, especially when we did, I think, Under the Banner of Heaven. But yeah, there's a lot of that going on. It's very unusual.
Well, and I think Mexico is a little more lenient with polygamy too.
Yeah.
And so that's some of their, I mean, that's kind of like, some of the where they set up shop.
Yeah, especially for the some of the more core fundamentalist stuff. Yeah,
and then a couple other, I finished the Synanon Fix on HBO, and the Freeway tape, the Freeway Killer Lost Murder Tapes was a good one. And the Jinx Part 2 with
that
Robert
just started.
Yeah, so there's three episodes. I watched the first two, but it's so funny because he's very rich and has a lot of money, and all his friends, like when he was wanted and he was hiding out in New Orleans, all his friends were just kind of hiding him. Like, they were sending him cash, like envelopes of cash, and like, or he had withdrawn a bunch of cash and gave it to people, and they were, you know, just sending it to him. It's like
he's funneling it back to him. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so, but it's yeah, it's such, you get on this documentary kick. And And it's like, and then been rewatching shows. Of, I guess it's kind of been back. I've been back. I go through these cycles. I've been back on like Serial Killer.
Yeah. Yeah. Because rewatch Mindhunter, and that's a banger of a show.
If anybody that listens, if they haven't seen it, you got to watch that. And it sucks because this third season got canceled. I think it was during COVID. They officially canceled it, but.
Somewhere
was it COVID
there.
Or after? Yeah.
Might have been That's just so before. Yeah. Yeah. To go back and watch Mindhunter for like the first time, just pop that cherry all over again. That show was so unbelievably good. Ed Kemper, It just, the way that guy turns into a serial killer is just amazing. Yeah.
Well, I watched it, you know, probably a third or fourth time at least to watch both seasons. And it's been a while, but it's been a while. But it was as fun as the first time. So
yeah. Yeah. It's a show that ages well. It's very fresh. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then before we talk about Sympathizer, we have a few shows coming out and a few shows that are out that we watch or we're going to watch that we need to catch up on. So like the first one out now that just came out, I think there's like 5 episodes out now, that The Big Door Prize on Apple TV.
Yeah.
Which I've watched the first 3. I fell asleep in the 4th one last night, but it's probably because I had 3 hours of sleep from waking up at 2:45 Eastern time to get my flight from Orlando.
Woof.
And so it's so funny because you and I were talking before it came on how Apple TV has, they have such good premises with some of these shows, and then it just kind of like they're ho-hum, right? And I think,
yeah,
you know, it kind of reminds me of like network TV sometimes, like,
yeah,
where like the average network TV shows, like you would still put it on because it was Thursday night or Wednesday night or Tuesday night and you didn't have a lot of options. And some would be funny, some would not.
Yeah.
But like this show should be so much better. And Chris O'Dowd is like carrying the show on his shoulders, which is not saying much, but I mean, I keep watching it, but it's something that's on. But yeah, you mentioned they fired somebody on their creative team too, right? Apple TV.
Yeah, I think I saw it on Instagram. I couldn't find it, but yeah, they fired somebody from like their marketing or their creative team. But we were talking about that before we started recording, and you know, they have such great premises, and it just seems like Apple is becoming oversaturated with shows that,
yeah,
to me, the quality is starting to become questionable. I don't know, but
it's kind of a tough decision. Do you go the Netflix model and just throw a bunch of shit at the wall and you find gems, or do you focus on making gems and you may end up with like out of 100 shows, like 5 or 10 quality ones, and the rest end up just being filler? You know, I don't know. It's an interesting, you know, because like Apple and Amazon, which we'll talk about another Amazon show in a minute, their TV is just, like the TV and movie stuff had just kind of been, were add-ons, right?
Yeah.
Versus like Netflix and Hulu were streaming services, and then other streaming services are basically TV channels that offer,
yeah,
a pay subscription or logging in with your user ID, right?
Yep.
So Apple and Amazon Prime, they'll show, you know, movies and TV shows that aren't theirs and link you to other stuff. And then they have their original content. And I think Apple's done probably a better job than Amazon's original content. But I mean, I know The Boys, well, maybe not, because The Boys, and you have Out of Range.
Marvelous Miss Maisel was the Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one because like you look at the core of what Apple brings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you compare it to the core of like Amazon's shows. I think Amazon wins that for quantity, but then you've got Apple who's got like Severance.
Yeah.
I don't think Amazon has a show
Ted Lasso
that's close to that. Yeah, Ted Lasso. Yeah,
Ted Lasso, exactly. Severance.
That was like the first blow up other than For All Mankind, but that's an us show.
And Killers of the Flower Moon, which I still haven't seen, was an Apple movie.
Yeah.
So I think they go for kind of they kind of represent their brand of like, we have really expensive stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of fall prestige, like say their phone, but it's really just,
it's the same product, just repackaged. It's just,
yeah. Every year,
there's no new flavor to it, really.
Yeah. Like, oh, we're going to put, now you can make stickers out of your photos and like,
yeah,
you know, and then put those stickers in a text message or,
yeah,
you know. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of seems, but I mean, that's not their core business, you know?
No.
So, but, and then we talk about Out of Range. So I rewatched Ooh. That. You're rewatching that, right? And
yeah.
So that's,
that starts up in a week.
Season 2 is coming out next week. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I think it's on, it's Thursday drops and it's yeah. just going to be bangers, dude. We've seen the trailer and how this all sets up from last season. I mean, that I'm remembering things as I go along with the show, but just Imogene Poots, Josh Brolin, Tom Pelfrey, his son, who ends up going through the hole at the end of the show. And then his wife, I can't for the life of me remember her name. She's such a great actress. That show is just unbelievably weird. And I think that's yeah. a very, it's a very Can We Kick It kind of show because it gets weird as shit. And it's a, it's like a fever dream. So I'm really looking forward to the second season because we get, I think we're going to get a, I think we'll get some answers, but we'll get more questions than answers like usual. Yeah.
Yeah. And I rewatched, I just recently rewatched all the episodes and it may have been even better the second time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I kind of, it had, I hadn't rewatched it since watching the first time. So I think it came out in 2022.
Yeah, it was maybe. Pre-COVID. Yeah.
Oh, it was pre-COVID?
I'm pretty sure that was pre-COVID, man. Yeah.
Oh, I think it had to be COVID. But, that was,
oh, you're right, 2022, you're right,
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
So rewatching again, like, I mean, there was some stuff that I forgot and it's shocking. You gotta finish, you gotta watch, time
yeah.
it to lead up to in to what's the 16th, right? So Thursday, so
yeah.
we'll have to watch it and then record next Thursday and
oh yeah,
pop
just
and lock it.
Immediately after we watch it, we just got to get online and just pop out the episode. Yeah.
Even better. Blanca's out of town. We watch it like at your place and do a live podcast afterwards.
I'm up for that.
Or my place.
Either one. One yeah.
Them. Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. I think we get the immediate reaction. I think the show is, I think it's going to be, it's going to grow, right? I think it's going to grow in heat that people are just really now catching on to it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's,
that's a great
watch
one.
The trailer,
Yeah.
It was pretty fucking gorgeous.
Yeah. It's wild. But, yeah, man, watching that, I don't know what, I mean, HBO Max, whatever you want to call them, always be HBO to me. I'm enjoying The Sympathizer, which is what they currently
yeah.
have on. What, I mean, yeah, we're getting House of the Dragon, right? But what else, like, marquee shows am I going to be watching on Sunday between the end of The Sympathizer, which I think is before House of the Dragon starts?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think their merger with Warner Brothers or Discovery really screwed up a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's so hard. I have a hard time navigating the app now.
It's not great. It's not great.
Because it wants to have, like, everything be, it mixes in, like, Discovery and all that shit with the Mac stuff, right? So
yeah.
I'm like, I'm watching a documentary, I'm like, oh wait, this is on like ID Discovery. Like,
yeah,
this
yeah.
isn't an HBO production. This is like, this is some bullshit.
Yeah.
But, and then I wonder, I haven't seen how Sympathizer's doing, but like, or how the regime did. Did the regime finish yet?
It's over. Yeah. Haven't finished okay. it. Yeah.
So, yeah, I stopped after 2, but they really need House of the Dragon to come very quickly.
Yes, they do.
But I think Sympathizer will come right. I mean, House of Dragon will start right after Sympathizer ends, right? Like
it might, yeah.
The timing of it, because it's the sixth. No, the yeah, it says June 16th. That's a Thursday. I can't. There's. Why would they do it? No, why would they do a Thursday night for House of the Dragon?
I'm telling you, man, the merger fucked all their
this
stuff up.
This makes zero
dude.
Fucking sense.
They put Tokyo Vice on Thursdays, man. Like, they don't know what they're doing anymore. The Sympathizer only has 3 weeks left.
So seven episodes? Or eight?
Seven. And the last one is May 26th. Yeah. I don't get it. But
yeah,
the Sympathizer is incredible. Robert Downey Jr. to me is going to win an Emmy for it, and maybe even the captain as well. The main character, right? The actual Sympathizer. But just the latest episode with him, it's basically like a reimagining of Tropic Thunder, where it's like they're trying to film this like Vietnamese movie, like war movie. And oh my gosh, what's his name is playing like the general guy, and he just is losing his shit on set, going full method actor.
David Duchovny,
yeah, that's it, yeah. And he's just like goes off into the woods and like kills a deer and brings it back, and then like there's like this on the verge of being an actual rape scene, and it's like crazy how this shit probably happened in the 70s like that. But Robert Downey Jr. is like crazy as the director, and like
fucking Cal Penn is like the token Asian actor who played he's like I played a Chinese person that got stabbed by this person, and I played a and I'm about to do my first Korean. It's so funny because I love him from freaking, or no, is it? It's not Cal Penn, it's the Harlan Kumar, Cal Penn, and God damn it, what's
who's his name?
John Cho.
John Cho.
John Cho played
Him being strapped to that torture board, and he's like, you want something to eat? He's like, nope. I mean, I'm going full character, like, and then he like throws up later. It's so hilarious.
They're watching, and he's like, hey, you can even see the hard boiled egg I have for breakfast.
See, that's dedication right there. Yeah, like what the?
Yeah,
not necessary at all. Yeah, but Downey Jr. is playing like four different guys between the congressman, the CIA guy, the academic, and now the director. And dude, it's just so funny watching him go in and out of each one of these characters. I'm almost wondering if it's too much and if it's going to hurt his chances. It's almost too comedic. I don't know. But I'm loving it. Just him being the Senate, the congressman, and gifting the general's mother. The major's mother with a dagger, and he's like, just take it. And they're like, it's bad to give a Vietnamese dagger. Severs relationships. It's just so funny that like they're all so out of their depth. It's great.
Yeah, it's the fun, like, it's so, I mean, it's interesting. Like, it's a really good show. And at first it was the spy thriller or counter spy. And episode four turned into, like you said, it was Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
But they get through that pretty quick, at least with the ending of four. Like, I think that story is over.
I think so.
So it's going to be interesting where we're going to go from there. But it's pretty, I don't want to say groundbreaking, but it's a really good show.
It's
And
gutsy. It's a really deep strike at trying to pull a novel off about a guy who's playing everybody and having a hard time remembering which lies he's keeping. It's really
yeah.
gutsy to try to pull this kind of show off.
Yeah. But I mean, I think Robert Downey Jr. is like the perfect guy to cast that in, 'cause like in episode 4, I forgot that it was even him like playing the director. I mean, like I knew it was him because it looks like him, but I didn't even think about the other characters that he is playing. You know, like it was just so well done.
Yeah, for him to play the director and he comes off as like a creative asshole, and like it rubs it like watching it rubbed me the wrong way, and I'm like, but that's like how the character is supposed to be. Like, he's doing an
Yeah.
amazing performance. You know, he's up
So
there
you're.
painting his like thing, and the captain comes up there and he's like, you're interrupting me right now. This is like masturbating for me. And I just lost it laughing. I was like, oh, he's fucking out of his mind. Yeah.
I just, it was so brilliant, like at the scene when him talking to his girlfriend about the painting, and he's like, this is what I envision, like chaos. And then like at the end of the scene, the main character sees the dynamite behind like the grave, and then you see that the vision of his painting is played out on scene. Like it's just, it's so well acted and so, like I love to whenever you get like new actors for us. So like I don't even, does he even have a name, like the captain, or is he just the captain?
I think he's just the
Like
captain. I'm looking at Ho's like credit
yeah. It says the captain.
online, and it just says the captain.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, am I forgetting
Yeah.
his name? But I don't think so. Yeah, I think that's just his character.
Yeah, because Robert Downey Jr. is listed as Claude, Professor Hammer, Ned Goodwin, Nico Dominius, and Nico Dominius, Daimonos. So.
The director of the combination and the combination too.
But I love how we get introduced to new actors and kind of like the same from Tokyo Vice with, I mean, we knew Ken Watanabe, but with Sho Kazamatsu, and some of the other Japanese actors, and same with Shogun. And there's an actor in Shogun. The character is Terunaga, not Terunaga. I forget the guy's name, but. He like I want to watch him in everything. It's just after you see it, you're like, where can I watch more with him in it?
Give me more Saito show, right, from Tokyo
Yeah.
Vice and stuff. And I just want to see that career just go up like that, because we're getting introduced to these guys watching these international shows for, you know, hey, it's not Squid Game, right, which is true international, but you know, we get introduced to these characters on these major shows, and they really have
Yeah.
great acting. And the only thing I will say, the only thing I that like is peeving me about the sympathizer is that I could see the captain's contacts, like his color
Oh,
contacts
no
for his
way.
eyes. When it was like up close, I was like, oh, that's fuck, I could see his contact. It was driving me crazy. But that's my only knock on the show. But him and Sandra Oh just going back and forth, because I just rewatched Sideways the other day, and she's in that with Paul Giamatti, and she's an amazing actress. She doesn't get enough credit, man.
Yeah, Sandra Oh's really good. Like Blanca was watching Killing Eve one time, or like
Huge.
we got on a little kick with that, and she was really good in that. We don't watch many episodes, but she's really good in everything that she does.
Yeah, it's amazing, dude. But I like this show. I like it. I mean, it was a Pulitzer Prize winning novel, right, with the
Yeah.
same name. And I like that they're trying to adapt this into a show about identity and deceit and all of these crazy notions, especially coming out of like the Vietnam and how the show, at least how Vietnam changed like pop culture. Because even the main character, the captain, is trying to find out who he is because he's half Vietnamese, half French, right?
Yeah.
And the French used to control Vietnam before the U.S. did. So he's like in no man's land. Even like the general is like, oh, he's of like mixed blood. And he's like, what the fuck, man? Like,
what do they say in episode 3? Like, you're stuck between two worlds, or you're.
Yeah. A ghost or something like that.
Ghost stuck between two worlds. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very true. But, like, he has no identity. Like, everybody else has this either communist or anti-communist, North versus South, Vietnamese.
It's like, and he's full rejection. Like, he wants to be like communist, and they're like, no, go over there and be a spy. And like, the others are like, you're not one of us. Like, get the, like, just do your shit and like, be quiet. And it's super interesting.
Makes him a good spy and counter spy because he's a ghost.
So that's a good question, right?
Between all the realms. Yeah.
How do you think? So we keep getting the time jump, right? Because there's him and, you know, going through the story of his time in the U.S. after the war, and then him like being re-educated in the like camp, like prisoner camp back in Vietnam. How do you think this thing is going to end?
Do you think someone figures it out and he gets sent back to Vietnam?
Well, I think that's.
Or do you think it's all in his head? Or
I think. Oh, that's a good point. Oof.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's. The latest episode, right? And scenes for next week shows like the general has some plan for going back to Vietnam and like leading a revolution and all that. I think the CIA is pulling him back into that, but. I think he is in Vietnam and he is being held captive, but they keep playing that record that Claude gave him before they left Vietnam. So I don't know if it's his friend that's like playing it while like observing him be reeducated, or Claude is like blaring it through the jungle to let him know like, we're not going to leave you behind. I don't know. Like, or maybe Claude switched sides and he's working for the like Vietnamese, like as a consultant, no longer with the CIA, and he's just fucking with the kid. I don't know.
Yeah, it was interesting the ending of this episode where he said that music disgusts him now, and then he goes in to sing the communist song. So is that he's just playing along, or, you know, is he about to be freed, or is it his friend to know that, like, keep playing along with it?
Yeah.
But his friend is on the communist side, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Wonder, though, if his friend is still alive. Because he went radio silent on him, and now he's just, like, in his mind talking to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true.
But I'm interested to see where the show is going. I got a feeling that he's going to die at the end of it and just get pushed into a mass grave. Like, the rest of them, I don't know, but it's going to be a tragedy the way the show ends. It's very funny, but it's a dark comedy. But it's going to end with him like dying or something like that. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, but you notice how all the good shows. If you think, I'm going to say my three favorite shows of the year.
Yeah.
Well, Fargo is this year or last year? Or Split. I think we had it in our...
I think Split, yeah.
So I'm going to do a full this year. I think my three favorite shows. Tokyo Vice, which, in any order, but was a book. Shogun, book. Sympathizer, book. Anything about other shows from the last years? Barry, not Barry. Silo, book. Three body problems this year. So yeah, that's in my top five so far. Book.
Oh yeah.
Like we really are vibing kind of with the books, and it seems like more books. Well, I think that's because there's, you know, you reach a point of diminishing returns in life, right? Like, so you think about the the curve of technology and like how you go from no car to cars, and then, you know, then you have a little incremental, like over time you're gonna be less innovative, I think. So
yeah,
it's kind of like now people are books and redoing. I mean, Shogun, that was like its third iteration.
Yeah.
But so it's definitely, you know, the beauty of it is that you have really good filmmakers and good actors being involved with this stuff and making it really good.
Yeah.
Because when you're doing something that's already, you're taking very hard stuff and making it well done. So,
yeah.
And that's, so like anything else in Sympathizer?
Cover no.
One more thing. So,
like, yeah, nothing else for me. Yeah.
But it was kind of related to, you know, how everything is being reused, reshuffled, and re-engineered. So just looking at the releases of on HBO this year.
Yeah.
And so we already had True Detective, Curb, which was also, a, you know, went on a 20-year hiatus and came back or whatever. Tokyo Vice, which is a book. The Regime, not sure if that was a book or not. Sympathizers. And then House of the Dragon, which is a spinoff of Game of Thrones, which is also books as well. You got some others. Industry coming this year. My Brilliant Friend. The Franchise, which I don't know what that is. The Penguin. So again, The Penguin is a, you know, show. Season one of like of a Batman character.
Yes.
Somebody Somewhere, which season three, which is one of my favorite shows of last year, that nobody else will watch. Pretty Little Liars Summer School. So they're taking the Pretty Little Liars, and that's already out. It, like, I saw it on HBO today. I don't know what it looks like. But the one, the reason, the last thing on the list, this is late 2024. Dune Prophecy season one. So yeah, they're making a Dune TV show. After you have the original Dune, Dune one, Dune two, book, and now you have a TV show. So you're getting like retellings of the same story or same characters, which is good. But it's so hard, like, for new original ideas. Even Ted Lasso was a show created off a commercial that NBC Sports did in 2014. So,
yeah, there's a lot of recycling, right? Like,
can,
I mean,
can
Star
you think
Wars.
Of an original?
Good God.
Yeah, Star Wars. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
All right, let's take this, like, 20-year period with one character that showed up in one thing and tell his story.
Yeah.
So, but can you think of like even like Mindhunter, which was kind of
also based on a
David
book.
Fincher, but it's based on a book and it's based on real serial killers,
based like, on reality, studying,
and like studying behavioral science to profile, right?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm like, even I'm trying to think Fargo, but that was based off of a book and a movie,
yep.
So can you think of something that's been groundbreaking, that movie or TV that hasn't come from a book? I'm sure maybe we're missing out, but
I'd have to go back and do some digging, because I'm just thinking of like, oh, I'll give you one. I don't think based off of a book, but I mean, kind of based off of reality, but it is fiction. Mad Men.
Yeah.
I almost said Walking Dead, but that was based off of a graphic novel, so that doesn't count.
Yeah,
there's
Mad
not
Men
many.
Was original.
There's
Sopranos was, but even like Sopranos, like We Own the Night about Baltimore PD,
yeah.
and like a Boardwalk Empire, which was based on real characters, except, Nucky Thompson was kind of a
Different
based
guy.
on
Yeah.
Enoch, somebody in Atlantic City, but all those characters are real and there's real stories in there.
Yep.
I mean, shit. Like, everything we're watching is rehashed.
Yeah.
So.
So, but now we're getting to the point where everything is just a parody of a parody. Because you mentioned the franchise just a second ago coming out on HBO. Armando Iannucci's latest TV venture,
Yes.
which includes Billy Magnuson, which he was is hilarious. He's was in like Game Night and some other stuff. Look him up later. But bringing back Himesh Patel, who was the comedian on Avenue 5.
Yes.
And the premise of the show is depicting the issues faced by a film crew in production of a superhero film. Now we're just getting into parodies of parodies, but now we're talking Armando Iannucci. I'm all in. I'm all
Yeah.
in, dude. Veep, Avenue 5, bangers. Yeah.
Well, I mean, their Veep and Avenue 5
Yeah.
were innovative.
Yeah.
And I would say everything that fucking Dan McBride and Jody Hill and David Gordon
Yeah.
Green.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we finally get to, Veep, Avenue 5, Eastbound and Down, Righteous Gemstones. I mean, it's a parody of religion. And Mega Preacher, Vice Principals was probably, in Eastbound and Down, were probably the most original
Yeah.
out of that.
Yeah.
Probably Vice Principal, because you never, and now, like, you never had a show about like two assistant principals trying to be for, like, the head
No.
principal, like,
Yeah. That
but.
show is so great. Was joking about that with Marcus in the office today and just how ridiculous that show was. And there's even talks of them doing another season.
I'd
So
watch.
I'd 100% watch. Yeah, it's so funny. But oh yeah, another show, Fallout on Amazon. A lot of video game adaptations are coming out right now. So I don't know where we're
Oh
going
yeah,
with this stuff.
Twisted Metal, and then
Yeah.
the which I never watched either. Then The Last of Us. Dylan told me he's watching Fallout and says it's really good. It's got our
Yeah.
boy Walton Goggins in there too, so.
He's playing the ghoul. Yeah, I need to watch it.
Yeah.
I've heard it's really, really good. And I unfortunately I know how it ends, but I do wanna watch it because he's amazing in everything he does. I mean,
Yeah.
it's Baby Billy. I mean, he's the shit.
Yeah. There will come a payday. Hallelujah, we'll say.
I love that. But yeah, man, anything else we need to cover? I don't I
No.
that was everything on my hot list.
Yeah. So next week, we talk about Sympathizer, and then the first episode of
Out of range.
Out of Range season two. We should put the trailer up somewhere that
Yeah.
people watch, because that is fucking, even if you haven't seen season one, watch the trailer. That's
Yeah.
bonkers.
Yeah, I might yeah, I'll probably share that on Instagram. I'll probably pin that to our profile because it's so good.
Yeah.
People need to be watching that show. Yeah. So
Yeah.
yeah, man.
That's it, man.
Yeah. Appreciate everybody for kicking it with us this week. Hopefully the Rangers win. I think we're going into the third period if we aren't already there.
Let's go, Rangers.
Woo! Hell yeah. Tune in next week. We'll be talking Outer Range season two. Get caught up on that, people. The Sympathizer, keep watching that. We only got 3 weeks left of it. Such a good show. Tune in because I think we're going to be talking. We talked a little bit about Dune, but I do want to do an episode about the movies because they're just so crazy wild out there. But yeah, so check out the
That means
website.
I'm
Check
gonna
out
have to
the.
watch the movies.
Oh, dude, yeah, you got to strap in. It's like 7 hours of movie, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, check out the website. Kicking in. Kickinginmedia.com and the Instagram at Can We Kick a Pod. So, as Cousin likes to say,
Bob DeWatto.
yeah.